looking up and meeting my eyes. "I'm not going to eat it yet," she says. "Otherwise I'll have to share it. I just want to see it." Apprehension creeps in as she lifts the lid, and there's an apology on my lips even as I see her break into an excited smile. I walk to the fridge and get a soda I pretend I came up here for. "Sorry if it's childish," I tell her. Not sure what I was thinking. She crosses her arms and folds her smile between her teeth, like she's trying to contain herself, but it's not working. I can see the blush on her cheeks in the dark kitchen and the way her breath is trembling. She turns her head toward me. "I don't think I've ever had a cake this pretty," she says. "Thank you for thinking of me. It's a nice surprise." She looks back at the cake, a whimsical look in her eyes. Great. Now I feel worse. She looks like this is the nicest thing someone has ever done for her, and wouldn't that be fucking sad? It kind of is a pretty cake, though. The frosting is designed into roses and starts off at the bottom in white and slowly grows pinker by row as it moves toward the top, where it finally evolved into a dark, hot pink. See, it wasn't stupid. I knew she liked pink. "It's pink on the inside, too," I tell her. "Pink cake, I mean." Her smile grows bigger. And it's not made for kids, now that I remember. The cake is made with champagne, the sales lady said. Okay, I did good. My head finally evolves into the perspective I had when I bought it, and I feel less tortured. She dips her finger into a rose and brings it to her mouth, sucking off the sugar. My gaze freezes, watching the way her lips purse and her tongue dips out to lick the tiny bit of frosting left on the tip. I groan inwardly, unable to stop myself from wondering how warm her mouth is. I clear my throat. I completely forgot candles, I admit, moving for the drawer behind me. But I know you have to do this, so... I pick out a box of matchsticks next to the pot holders and light one, going to stick it in the center of the cake, but I stop. Should we call Cole inside? She glances out the window and then waves me off. I stick the matchstick into the cake. I watch as she closes her eyes, exhales a breath, and releases her shoulders, and then slowly a small smile curves her lips. Instinctively, I smile too, like I don't know what she's thinking, but I think I know what she's feeling in that moment. She blows out the matchstick and opens her eyes, the stream of white smoke billowing in front of her face. I stay by her side for a moment, not wanting to budge. Someone should be holding her right now. Someone should be coming to stand in front of her, putting both his hands on the counter at her sides and feeling her breath against his face. I breathe a little faster, imagining what she tastes like. And then I reach for the soda can I'd set on the counter and fist it until the aluminum crackles. That's not good. Those thoughts aren't good. I walk away, swallowing three times to wet my throat, and I grab the cassette tape container from my truck off the counter and slide it across the island to her. "And that's for you, birthday girl," I say to distract from any vibe I might have just been giving off. "You're welcome." Her eyes fall on the black container, recognizing it, and widen, her jaw dropping. "What?" she exclaims. "Are you serious? No way!" She smiles brightly. "I can't take these. They were your dad's." I nod, now feeling safer with the island between us. "My dad would want someone to have them who's going to love them. You'll love them, right?" It's not like I ever play the damn things. I just listen to whatever's on the radio. She seemed pretty in awe of them, so it was the only thing I could think to give her that she'd want. She holds up her hands animatedly and makes a face like she doesn't know what to do with me. "But..." she trails off, scoffing. "Pike, I..." "You want them, right?" I ask. She scoffs again, making a face. I can see the struggle in her eyes. To her, it's a valuable gift, and she doesn't have the right to have them. But she's also dying to take them. "Are you serious?" she asks, cupping her face in her hands. I can't help but laugh. She's fun to make happy. She scoops them up and hugs them. "I have tapes. I have a collection. Shit!" she bursts out. "I feel so bad, but I want them too. So, I'll take them. She feigns an apologetic look but laughs, which amuses me even more. Good, I say. And I feel better now, too. At least I've hopefully made up for my behavior earlier in the week. With this and the garden, she seems elated. I move away from the counter to take my leave, but she stops me.
Oh, wait.
Spinning around, she removes a tray from the fridge and walks over to me, setting a bag of tortilla chips on top and handing it all over to me.
I made an extra taco dip for you and the guys.
I look down at it, my stomach immediately growling. Oh, you didn't have to do that. We usually order wings and pizza, but this actually looks really good. Thank you. They'll love it. She smiles, and for 3 long seconds we're locked there in each other's stares, almost as if the air is so heavy with something else that we can't move. Finally, I inhale a breath and back away. Make sure they clean up when they're done, okay? Not make you do everything I want to add, but don't. She just rolls her eyes at me and turns back to her tapes. A loud thud wakes me from my sleep, and I jerk awake, blinking my eyes into the darkness. What the fuck? I could have sworn the bed had vibrated too. It takes a moment to place all the sounds outside, and then I hear the beat of muffled music filtering in through closed windows. Jesus, they're still up? I look over at the clock, seeing it's just after 1 in the morning. I throw off the sheet and yawn, running my fingers over my scalp. It's fucking hot in here. I sit up, swinging my legs over the edge of the bed and stand up. Walking across the room, I open the door and head down the hallway and the stairs. At the bottom, I check the thermostat and kick on the AC. 79 degrees in here. I'm willing to compromise, but that's unbearable. It doesn't help I have to sleep in pajama pants now that there are people in the house, but I'm afraid I'll wake in a start and forget I'm fucking naked. I walk into the kitchen, keeping the lights off, and stop at the sink, peering out the window into the patio. I'm surprised the cops haven't been called. It's less noisy than it was before, but it's still too damn loud for this late. I look around the backyard for what caused the thud, and my eyes immediately go wide. I turn away. Seriously, Cole, what kind of friends pull this shit at someone else's house? At least 2 girls are missing the tops of their bikinis, one of them being heavily groped by a guy I can only assume is one of Cole's buddies as they make out in the pool. The other girl is lying on a lawn chair, one arm tucked behind her head, and her sunglasses on despite the fact that it's dark out. I turn around, feeling my pants for my phone. He needs to get those little shits off my property now, but I can't go out there. Not sure if it would be awkward for them, but it would definitely be weird for me. It's a safe bet I know their dads probably. Where the hell is Jordan? I don't know why that thought pops in my head, but for some reason, it's instinct to suspect she'd have a problem with this too. Where the hell is my phone? I remember it's plugged into my charger next to my bed, and I head back up the stairs and down the hallway, entering my room and pulling it off the cord. At least most of the party is cleared out, by the looks of it. It shouldn't be too hard to get rid of the remaining 8 or so, but the backyard is a mess, and I've been more than gracious about this. He better not ask for another damn party for a long time. Heading back down the stairs, I dial Cole on my phone as I stop just inside the kitchen. Holding it to my ear, I listen as his line rings. But I soon hear a tinkling coming from somewhere in the living room and look behind me to see a light coming from the arm of the couch. It's Cole's phone lighting up with my call. God damn it. Hanging up, I tap my phone and click on Jordan's name, dialing her instead. But as I'm about to hit send, I glance up and suddenly pause. She's there, standing in the shallow end of the pool, thigh deep, with her arms locked to the front of her body, trying to keep her top on as Cole pulls the tie at the back of her neck. He stands in front of her, staring down, as she shakes her head, trying to resist, but smiling all the same. I can see her embarrassment from here. A flood of feelings hits me, and so many thoughts swim through my head as I try to look away but can't. Don't look at her, I tell myself, and my fist curls around my phone, willing Cole to leave her alone too. She obviously doesn't like it, and I don't like it. But I can't keep my eyes from rising to her again, seeing the pink seashell bikini she's wearing, and the thin straps slowly spilling off her skin. God, she's beautiful. I feel a knot wind painfully inside me, taking in her long hair falling against her bare body, and her arms, the only thing holding up the scraps that cover her anymore. I run my hand over my face, trying to rub away the shame, because if I were Cole, I'd be handling her very much the same, but a lot more privately. I wouldn't want anyone else seeing what I get to see. Blowing out of breath, I drop my eyes. This night needs to end. Maybe I should cut the electricity so everyone will leave. But before I have a chance to move, I see that Jordan is out of the pool and moving toward the window. She holds her top with one hand and slips on my old t-shirt again with the other, reaching in and retying the strings of her bikini once the shirt is on. Her brows are furrowed like she's annoyed, and I arch my head looking behind her to see that Cole has moved on, laughing and throwing a football to someone. She heads around the house toward the back door, and I straighten as she enters the kitchen. I connect my phone to the charger on the counter to make it look like I'm doing something.
"Oh, hey,"
she says, pausing when she sees me. I glance over, clearing my throat. "Hey, everything okay?"
"Yeah, I was just going to..."
She hesitates as if looking for an answer.
"Cut up some watermelon."
I nod once and walk over to the fridge, reaching on top and grabbing the fruit for her. She pulls out a cutting board and chopping knife, and I forget about asking her to break up the party. She doesn't seem to want to be out there at the moment. Pulling out the other cutting board next to the fridge, I settle in at the counter next to her and slice the watermelon in half for her. One part stays on my board. I move the other half to hers, and we both start chopping. The remnants of the party run around the backyard, some kid catching a squealing girl who's half naked, and I drop my eyes again, feeling fucking stupid like this isn't my house, and I'm some 70-year-old pervert spying on teens gone wild running around my own damn yard. I see her glance through the window in front of us and then quickly to me, probably gauging my annoyance. There are topless women in my backyard after all, and I freaked out over her wet t-shirt mowing the lawn the other day. But instead, I resort to sarcasm this time. "Do you think Kramer next door is enjoying the view?" She snorts, faltering in her chopping, and follows it with a laugh. After a moment, though, I hear her taunting voice.
"Are you?"
she replies. I widen my eyes a little, surprised, and look down at her. She casts me a cocky little smirk.
"You're still young,"
she points out, joking with me.
"Still look energetic. Why don't you go out more?"
"Who says I don't go out? My bar hopping days are over, but I had friends over tonight, too. Granted, that's not going out, but I'm not a hermit."
"You're not gay, are you?"
I shoot her a look. "Excuse me, didn't we talk about my dating habits the other night?" But she shakes her head right away, clearing it.
"Yeah, never mind. Didn't think so."
Jesus. Granted, I don't have as much of a social life as I could. I know that. I'm not even 40 yet, and my downtime resembles my grandfather's retirement. I pause a moment, searching for the easiest words to explain it to her. "I like my boring life," I tell her, my voice kind of sounding like an apology. "Most women don't."
"Maybe girls don't,"
she replies, a light humor in her voice that I appreciate.
"I find you far from boring. You should go out more. There's a shortage of men in this town. Too many boys."
I smile to myself. She sees me as a man, not just someone's father. I shouldn't like that as much as I do. And yes, there may be lots of boys, but there are also lots of women, and none of them are for me. Believe me, if my future wife lived in this town, I would have found her by now. She slices one of her sections in half and turns it sideways to cut triangles and twos. I follow suit. Outside, a young woman with a long brown ponytail scurries across the pool deck, her orange bikini making her tanned skin look darker. I jerk my chin. Should I go after her? Jordan glances up at the girl outside the window and drops her eyes again, continuing to slice the fruit.
She's too hot for you.
You think I can't keep up? I joke, cutting off two more triangles. I've been around the block, you know.
Several times by your age, I'm sure. Need a nap yet?
Why, you little... I slice through the fruit and the knife comes down, its point jabbing me right on the inside of my middle finger on my left hand, Shit. I drop the knife and bring my hand up, the ache sinking down to the bone. I suck in air through my teeth. Damn it.
Oh.
Jordan gasps and drops her knife too, wiping off her hands.
I'm sorry.
She offers a regretful little laugh.
Here, come here.
I suck the blood off my finger, barely taking notice that she's pushed me down onto a bar stool at the island as she retrieves bandages from the cabinet. Did I put those in there? I didn't put those there. Rushing over to me, she peels a package open, and I see it's a wet wipe. Probably antibacterial something or other. I can do it. I hold out my hand. But she moves in anyway, inspecting the pea-sized drop of blood balling on my finger again.
I know, she says. I just feel bad. I didn't mean to piss you off and distract you. I was just teasing.
I hiss as whatever's on the wipe hits my open wound. You didn't piss me off, I tell her, but it comes off as a growl. Well, you did, I guess. You always do. But it's in a good way.
In a good way?
Her brows furrow. Yeah, like, you know, fun, you're fun, and kind of funny, and pretty interesting. I don't know how she makes my temper rise so quickly and over stupid petty shit, and I can't explain why, but I like it. I don't know how to tell her that, though. It sounds weird. When I don't answer the question, she continues, her voice quiet and serious.
You know, she says, not looking at me. If you are interested in her, I can bring her around more if you want.
The girl in the orange bikini? Bring her around? She nods, wiping my fingers still.
A sleepover or something, maybe. You won't have to make a move. She'll jump you.
She won't look at me, but I stare down at her nevertheless. She wants to get me laid? I feel a warm, light sweat cover my spine as I become aware of the heat of her body standing between my legs. I watch as she blows hair out of her face, only for it to fall back into the same place again. Orange bikini isn't the one I want jumping me. Absently, I reach up and brush the hair out of her eye, grazing her forehead as I tuck it behind her ear for her. Her gaze rises, meeting mine as I let my hand fall down the strands of her smooth hair. And my heart skips a beat as we both stand there, locked. I can almost feel her face in my hands. The urge is so strong to know what it's like to hold just a part of her. Jesus Christ. I drop my hand, looking down at the small wound on my middle finger.
So, do you want me to?
She broaches quietly, almost like she's afraid of what I'm about to say. I shake my head. No, I finally tell her. She's not bad, but she's not what I like. She unwraps a band-aid and fastens it to my finger, slowing, smoothening over the bandage again and again. My fingers tingle where she holds them, and I watch her face, her focus still not leaving my hand. And then suddenly she nearly whispers,
"Well, what do you like?"
I watch as she licks her lips, her breathing shallow and the jolt to my cock, feeling damn near ready to tear something apart with my teeth. What is she doing to me? Women old enough to drink, for starters. I retort, pulling my hand away. She quirks an eyebrow.
Yeah, like you're some bar-hopping partier yourself.
Yeah, she's right, I drink at home.
But good, she sighs, backing up and planting her hands on her hips. I didn't really want to set you up with her.
Why?
I don't think she's your type.
She tosses away the wrappers, ease in her eyes now.
Plus, I'd be jealous. I like being the only woman in the house.
And if I had said yes? She shrugs, feigning an apologetic look.
Well, then you just wouldn't get your new favorite burgers the way you like them anymore.
I grin, shaking my head. So presumptuous. But yeah, actually I do love her way of making burgers better. She takes my hand, giving my little wound a good once over. It's fine, thank you. I stand up, forcing her back a little. Go on out with your friends. She turns her head over her shoulder, gazing outside, but she doesn't look in the mood to party anymore.
What are you going to do?
She asks, walking back to the watermelon and loading the big bowl with the pieces. Try to get back to sleep, I guess. I tell her. Hopefully she doesn't mess with the AC and I can stay asleep. Making my way out of the kitchen, I rub my finger, feeling the ache of the stab. I glance back at her and see her eyes already on me over her shoulder. She quickly turns back to her work. I just want to stay. After a long moment, I swallow. "Night," I say. But before I make it into the living room, I hear her voice behind me.
"What did you mean, in a good way?"
Her eyes are on me again, and I lift the corner to my mouth in a small smile. I'm not sure what to say that doesn't sound completely inappropriate. Finally, I just decide to spit out the easiest answer, turning and heading for the stairs. "I like talking to you," I say over my shoulder.
Chapter 11. Jordan. "I like talking to you? What have I ever said that was so fascinating?" I let out a scoff, shaking my head as I peel the potatoes for dinner. Maybe it's a lack of options. He's lived alone for so long that any conversation seems interesting. We have absolutely nothing in common. But the truth is, I loved hearing it. Why do I want him to like me so much? And why was the party the last place I wanted to be last night when I realized he wouldn't be out there too? I glance up and see him in the backyard through the window in front of me. He works on trimming the tree by the fence separating his yard from Kramer's, holding a long, handheld device that stretches up into the tall branches. I mention that not enough sunlight is reaching the garden, so he took it upon himself to solve the problem, without even being asked. I love the garden more than I admit to him. It's like my own little space, and it will still be there after I leave. It's comforting. The seeds are planted, and the sprinklers dust the soil for a few minutes every morning and evening like clockwork. I've started to like hearing them kick on in the wee hours when it's still dark, and I'm the only person up and in the kitchen with my coffee. Everything is starting to feel familiar and warm here, like a home. I carve into the potato skin, rough and abrasive. Typical. I always grow attached to things that aren't forever. The idea of my mother returning when I was little, Nick, Jay, my apartment, and the desire to make a home of my own. I amaze myself at how absolutely pathetic I continue to be. I jab the knife into the cutting board and dig out a few more potatoes from the bag. And to make matters worse, I haven't been able to stop thinking about last night all day, and the party is the least of it. The birthday cake, the tapes, joking around with him. The way he remembered that I have to blow out a candle and make a wish. A flutter hits my heart, and I smile, and then scowl, confused and not wanting those feelings. I blew out the matchstick last night, wishing for the same thing I wished for in the movie theater that night. I loved how I felt in that moment, and hoped that I could feel that way every day. That's all I wanted. Not for something to be different, or for something I didn't have, but that I would feel exactly the same the next day, and the next. Special, remembered, happy. He makes me happy. Happy in a way that my boyfriend should. Peeling another potato, I see him out of the corner of my eye move outside, and I try to stop myself, but I look up anyway. Raising his arms, he pulls his navy blue t-shirt over his head and slides it into his back pocket, reaching over to pick up the branch cutter again. For a moment, I freeze. My hands pause in their task, and the sounds of the cutter, the lawnmower across the street, and the music playing in the kitchen slowly fade away. His skin, golden and toned, looks warm and smooth. The muscles of his stomach and the cords running down his forearms press against his skin, displaying how long and hard he's worked in his life. Sweat glistens down his neck and spine, and I can see the ripples of the muscles in his back, even through the tattoos. Long legs in worn jeans, with his t-shirt hanging out the back pocket and covering part of his... I wet my lips as I tear my eyes off his behind and stare at the way his jeans hang off his hips. Every muscle flexes as he chops branch after branch, and all I can manage is short, shallow breaths, as I even admire the way his pant legs drape over his tan construction boots. Mr. Lawson is hot. He's able, strong-bodied, and I wonder how he feels. What is he like with a woman? I drop my eyes again. Oh, that's hot, I hear a voice say. I blink and jerk my head, looking behind me. Cam. She stands next to the side of the island, having come through the front door without me hearing her. She has one forearm planted on the granite, leaning casually with an amused look on her face. I turn back to my task, my heart hammering in my ears. It's bad enough to ogle someone not Cole, but it had to be her who caught me, too. I've never seen you look at Cole like that, she says. How long was she standing there? I decide to nip it in the bud. Like what? I snap. Stop trying to start shit. I hear her shuffle across the floor as she comes up to stand next to me at the sink. I cast a glance at Pike to see he's still working, oblivious to us in the house. You both are getting pretty cozy here, she teases, rinsing off the peeled potatoes and putting them in the pot. He's doing yard work, you're cooking. It's like you're a couple. Shut up, I'm young enough to be his daughter. But you're not his daughter, she shoots back, turning toward me and leaning in. You're a hot, young piece of pussy living under his roof, and you know he's thought about that. He may be Cole's dad, but he's also a man. She turns back, looking out the window and checking him out. And a fine, healthy-looking one, too. I have a boyfriend. His son. That's right, Jordan. That's exactly what you should have told yourself when you were staring at him a minute ago. But my sister just shrugs. Even hotter. I let out a bitter laugh. If you like him, go for it. Nuh-uh. Her lips curl playfully. I'm all worked up about the fantasy now. I want my own boyfriend's father. Ugh. My cheeks warm again. You're sordid, and you don't have a boyfriend, I point out. Well, I should get one. One who has a hot dad. I shake my head. I'm not talking about this anymore. She's convinced I was ogling, and she thrives on naughtiness. I'm not feeding her. Plus, you're my sister, she states. I don't want to make you jealous by hooking up with him. Why would I be jealous? I blurt out, finishing the last potato. Seriously, I have a boyfriend. Who Pike Lawson screws is of no consequence to me. Go for it. Turning away, I wipe off my hands, veer around her, and grab the pot of water with potatoes and put it on the stove, starting the burner. The pork chops are marinating. Dough for the biscuits is sitting. I go through my mental checklist as quickly as I can to keep my mind occupied and away from him. He can see whomever he wants. This is his house. Well, I hear Cam say, if you're okay with it, then... I remain at the stove, pretending to check the burner, but my hand tightens on the knob, fear twisting my insides. The next thing I hear is the back door slamming against the frame, and I jerk upright, seeing that she's left the kitchen. Son of a... Walking back over to the sink, I peer out the window and see Cam heading across the lawn to where Pike is working. She tosses a look over her shoulder at me like she knows I'm watching. She smirks, and I scowl. I wasn't serious. The thought of her hands on him, his arms around her. I don't want to see that. She's my sister. He senses her approach and looks down at her, turning off the tool, and I watch as he listens, probably wondering why she's bugging him. Maybe he's wondering, that is. My sister is hot, and not many men would refuse her if she set her sights on them. Maybe Pike's attracted to her? He is a man, like she said. And she's older, has her own place, a car, and is rooted in this town for the time being. She's still significantly younger than him, but she's not a kid. She's not a little girl. She crosses her arms over her chest, shuffling her feet a little, giving the impression of modesty, and I shake my head because Cam is not modest at all. Just very good at reading people. She knows coming on too strong will freak him out. After a moment, she touches his arm, and I barely breathe as I watch her bend her neck, inspecting his ink. Then quickly, she straightens and lifts up her arm, showing him the huge black phoenix on the side of her torso. He watches as she lifts up her white tank and bra straps, and my stomach sinks, expecting him to blush or look uncomfortable, because uncomfortable is Pike's thing, but he doesn't. Instead, he watches her as she talks animatedly, excited, and then suddenly, he smiles, his body shaking with a laugh at whatever she's saying. Something tugs at the back of my throat and I don't feel good. He keeps looking at her. His eyes have barely left her since she walked out there. Does he want her? Does she turn him on? I mean, I want him to like her, just not want her. It's not right. I don't want to hear her moaning and panting down the hall all night. Besides, she won't like him. He's way too uptight. Pretty boring, actually. But she'd definitely make him feel good for a while. I close my eyes, a 5-ton weight on my shoulders. She turns and starts picking up branches off the ground, and he goes back to cutting, both of them working together in happy unison. But I see her turn to mouth something at me with a cocky little smile. It takes a moment to register what she said. Jealous yet? I can't help the snarl that escapes as I flip her the finger and then turn around, walking away from the window. Damn her. She won't do anything. She thinks I like him. She's just trying to piss me off. I pull the collar of my t-shirt away from my body, every inch of my skin feeling irritated. I need a breath. Walking over to the stove, I turn off the burner and leave the kitchen, jogging up the stairs. I enter Cole's in my bedroom, pull some clean clothes out of the drawers, and leave, walking across the hallway to our bathroom. But as soon as I step inside, I stop, seeing the mess Pike has made. The tub is ripped out, the valves are disconnected to the sink, and there's debris all over the white-tiled floor. He's still renovating. I forgot. His bedroom door lays open, and I can see his bed straight ahead, the headboard against the opposite wall as I walk toward his room. Every time I've passed through here to get my showers this past week, it's felt awkward, being in his room alone. I don't snoop, but it's tempting. His bed is always made, a little haphazardly, blankets just tossed back up in a rush. But I can't help but be a little taken aback. If not for my stepmom, my father's bed would never be made. Heading for the bathroom, I see the pictures of Cole from birth to senior year portraits lining the frame of his dresser mirror. A flat screen hangs on the wall, its power cord dangling and unplugged. A model schooner sits on his bureau, with only a light layer of dust on the white sails. And an old watch with a worn leather band I've never seen him wear sits in a dish on his dresser. There's no other jewelry anywhere. Aside from the bed, the two dressers, the TV, and the bedside tables, the room is minimal. Nothing on the walls, of course. One black lamp with a gray shade, and a strong afternoon light streaming through the cracks in the partially open blinds. I hate that he lived here for so long. Someone needs to spice this place up. Not my sister. Swinging the bathroom door closed behind me, I lock it and reach into the shower, turning on the water. I set my change of clothes on the sink counter and strip down, pulling out a towel from the shelf and hanging it on the hook outside the shower. Jealous yet? I shake my head, my ire rising again as I step into the shower and close the glass door. I'm not jealous. I just don't want to see her push him around like I know she definitely can. So much is a game to my sister, and she hides her insecurities behind flighty behavior and sarcasm. Pike's not like that. He needs someone calm, someone who knows how to keep him calm. Someone who can wrap their arms around his neck and make the rest of the world disappear. Tipping my head back, I wet my hair and close my eyes, feeling the heat of the water pound my shoulders and neck. Chill spread down my arms, and my head suddenly swims with the pleasure of the warmth. Turning around, I plant my hands on the wall and roll my head under the spray, finally coming back up and leaning against the wall behind me as I push my hair back over my head. My stomach curdles. If Cole wasn't in the picture, and Pike came into the bar one night and sat on a stool and talked to me, I'd like him. I'd really like him. I'd want him. I squeeze my eyes shut tighter. God, my sister is right. Something is happening. It's been happening, actually. Does everyone else notice, too? Does he notice? Shit. Opening my eyes, they immediately fall on his body wash ahead of me, sitting in the caddy. Cole usually uses Axe, but he hasn't pulled his stuff out of the other shower yet, probably just using his dad's Irish Spring. I cast a quick look toward the glass, making sure I'm alone, and pull the bottle off the rack and pop the lid. Little suds fizz around the opening from the guys' showers that morning, and I close my eyes, bringing Pike's body wash to my nose. The heady fragrance fills my head, and tingles spread across my skin. It's cheap soap, but it's no frills, does the job, and reminds me of jeans, lumber, and the barest bristle of a 5 o'clock shadow on a man's jaw. It's him. My throat swells like I'm taking a gulp of water, and I swallow, feeling disappointed that nothing is there. I lick my lips, breathing hard. I suspend reality somewhere in the back of my mind, and absently squeeze a drop of the soap into my hand. Bring my palm up to my nose. I smell again, my breath catching, my eyes falling closed, and my clit instantly throbbing. Should I go after her? I remember his rare, cocky smirk that excited me last night. I didn't want him going after anyone, but God, I'm desperate to see what that looks like. What is he like with a girl? You think I can't handle her? I've been around the block. The hand with the soap falls down my neck, glides over my collarbone, and washes down my breast and over my nipple. Handle her? Not her, I mouth to myself. My fingers graze down my stomach as I lean back on the wall, and I slide my hand between my legs, biting my lip and shuddering at the touch. I slowly start to rub myself, my fingers working little circles on my hardening clit. No, I whisper, opening my eyes. Stop, stop, stop. I force Cole into my head. His hands on my body, his lips on my ear, the way he buries his face in my neck so I can never see his eyes. Oh, baby. Fuck, baby, fuck. You feel good, so good. His hands grip my ass, and I rub the nub harder, faster, chasing the momentum I just had. The orgasm taunts me low in my belly and wants out so hard. Cole, I say, closing my eyes again. Go harder. I spin around, facing the wall and pressing myself into it with my hand still buried between my legs. He's behind me, demanding in. He wants to fuck. I slip a finger inside and start moving on it. I lay my cheek against the wall, trying to go fast so I can't think. Maybe if it's just fucking, I can come. My finger is wet, and I slide it back out and rub my clit again. I want to come. It's right there. But I can't. The muscles in my arms strain, and my lungs ache for air. Please. But it doesn't come. My fingers slow, and I exhale, tears stinging the backs of my eyes. I bite my lip again, aching so badly. I'm so wet. And then, my mind in a fog and my will gone, I crawl inside my head where no one else but me can see. I hide and give in. because no one but me has to know. In that moment, in my dirty thoughts and torrid little fantasy, I want him. I want to be for him. Our little secret. Hidden. Such a good girl. A new voice whispers in my ear. Pike's voice. His body is behind mine now, larger and taller, caging me to the wall. His hand fists the back of my hair, and he pulls my head back slowly, leaning in to flick my lip with his tongue. I whimper. Taking care of the house the way I like, he taunts, and my hand becomes his hand in my head as he takes over fingering me. Cooking my meals the way I like. Pretty little thing for me to look at. You're doing so well, Jordan. I keep my eyes closed, feeling for his lips, my whole body pulsing with an electric current at the taste of his warm mouth and the water of the shower cascading over his hot skin. I can feel his cock, hard and ready behind me. I need you to do everything a woman does now, he instructs. Everything a good girl does for a man. Can you do that? I nod, panting. Yes. My orgasm is cresting again. My nipples press painfully into the tiled wall, and it feels so good between my legs. I want him. I want him on me. I want to know what he feels like. Reaching behind me, I don't think. I grab a loofah and slide it between my legs. The netting chafes my clit in a way that sends me over the edge. I roll my hips into it, wanting to feel anything, because it's him in my head, and that's enough. His smell surrounds me, his mouth sucks my neck, and he's hefting me up so he can slip inside me. It's rough and hard, his hands on my tits one minute and his mouth stealing my breath the next. God, his tongue tastes so good. The orgasm tingles deep, building and building, and Cole's father is fucking me so good. I come, the wave washing over me, and I cry out in silence, breathing hard but making no sound. God. I collapse against the wall, nearly crumbling as I shudder, the orgasm drifting down my legs and making my knees weak. I squeeze my eyes shut and shake through it until it ebbs away, leaving me lightheaded. When the shower stops spinning and my breathing has returned to normal, I open my eyes, a flood of emotions rushing me. Oh my God, I want to cry. What the hell is wrong with me? Why would I do that? And with his father, I'm confused and stressed out and seeking comfort in a guy because he's been nice to me a couple times. Jesus. No matter what happens with Cole and me, Pike Lawson is off limits. Don't forget that. There are hundreds of men out there just like him. He's not special. It can't be him. Ever. I straighten, taking a deep breath. Looking down, though, I see the loofah in my hand isn't my pink one. It's Pike's silver one. Shit. A few suds are still in it from his shower this morning. And I used it to orgasm. Awesome. I groan inwardly. Climbing out of the shower, I bury it under tissue paper in the trash can and make a mental note to get him a new one next time I'm out. And some different body wash, I think, too.
Chapter 12. Pike. Jordan? I dart my gaze left and right as I pass each aisle, having lost her nearly 10 minutes ago. Where the hell did she go? The guys and I finished at the site early today, and with a little daylight left, I'd come home from work to find Jordan working in the garden. She wanted to check out some chicken wire or something for the tomato plants, and I thought I'd add a stone border around the tree in the backyard, so we hopped in the truck and headed to Home Depot. After putting in the order for the stone, though, I lost her. I finally spot her at the end of an aisle digging in a shallow box sitting on a shelf. Standing back upright, she pulls out a sheet of tiles and holds it up in front of her, studying it. Carrying the two new yard tools I'd picked out, I walk for her, steeling myself. She looks beautiful today, and shit keeps happening to my body every time I look at her, like there are live wires underneath my damn skin. Black t-shirt, white shorts, hair down and free, minimal makeup. She's no frills and it works. Farmer's daughter and exactly my type once upon a time. I shake my head, clearing it. What's that? I ask, approaching. She glances at me, still holding up the square sheet of tiles.
It's backsplash.
I reach out my free hand, running my thumb over the tan stone strips glued to the paper. Backsplash.
You're in construction, she snips, giving me a chastising look. Don't you ever watch HGTV? Backsplash is everything in home decor.
Yeah, I've seen it, I assure her, dropping my hand. I don't know. Seems like a frill. She rolls her eyes, her gaze resting on the stones again.
It's the little things that add personality to a house, she tells me. An artsy chandelier, the right rug, and backsplash.
She turns the sheet around, facing me and showing me.
This is you. It would look great with what you've done in the kitchen.
Me, huh? I let out a chuckle, meeting her eyes. And what am I? Her smile falls and a look of surprise crosses her eyes. I blink. I didn't mean it like that, I tell her. It's not what I said, but how I said it. Way too insinuating. She seems to brush it off, though, turning the sheet around and staring down at it again with appreciation.
It reminds me of a cave, she finally says. You're like a cave. You don't give up all your secrets at once. Who knows how deep you go, right?
My eyebrows shoot up. What? How deep do I go? Did she just... Her eyes suddenly go round and she jerks her gaze to me, looking mortified.
I mean, she rushes out. Like, on the inside. Your personality.
A blush rises to her cheeks.
I didn't mean it like, ugh.
Her shoulders sink and she stuffs the sheet back into the box, giving up.
I'm going to drool over bathroom fixtures now. Bye.
And she walks away from me quickly, disappearing down an aisle. My mouth quirks into a smile and I break into a quiet laugh, staring after her.
So, what do you think?
A young man in an orange apron steps up out of the corner of my eye. I don't look at him, though, still staring at the aisle she just disappeared down. We'll start off with 3 boxes of this. I gesture to the tiles on the shelf. See how it looks. He moves over and starts unloading the boxes.
Wise choice. Happy wife, happy life, right?
Happy wife, happy. I watch him pull out a box and carry it away, the pulse in my neck suddenly throbbing. He thinks she's my wife? A smile pulls at the corner of my mouth, and I'm not exactly sure which emotion is filling my chest right now, but it feels good, and there's a lot of it. Later that evening, I slouch back into the couch with my arm tucked behind my head and a beer in my hand. Watching TV, I've been in a lucid daze for a while now, as one show has turned into 5. I set down my beer and pick up the remote, finally turning off HGTV and blinking. I think for the first time in 3 hours. She's right, I mumble. They're fucking obsessed with Backsplash. In a moment of curiosity, I had clicked on the channel after we got home from Home Depot, and it's like I blacked out after that, only momentarily zoning back in to make a sandwich and try to talk to Cole. He's out again now, though, grabbing a quick shower and another quick exit after he came home from work and realized Jordan wasn't here. I thought we could go grab a late dinner or something, but apparently his plans couldn't be broken again. Or he's afraid to be alone with me. It's not like I want to fight either. Even just watching a show together would be fine. I mean, we had managed not to kill each other in the past. He used to like me. And where does he get all this money to party? He has to be spending everything he's making. Not that I'm in a rush to have him save money and leave, but I guess I can now judge myself as harshly as I judged Jordan. The more you do for someone, the less they do for themselves. I'm as much to blame as she is. Cole won't grow up until he's forced to. I down the rest of my beer and stand up, carrying the empty bottle into the kitchen. My phone rings in my pocket and I dig it out. Dutch. Hey, I answer, tossing the bottle into the garbage. Hey, you should come to Grounders right now. Huh? Like right now. He adds before I have a chance to say anything. Why?
Because...
He pauses and I hear a breathy little laugh. Jordan is, misbehaving, I guess you could say. I straighten, my brows pinching together. Misbehaving? I repeat. What does that mean? And why do you think I care? I'm not her dad. Music pounds in the background and I can hear a crowd talking and laughing. One of my guys is getting married in a couple of weeks, so the crew took him out tonight. We need at least one person not hungover tomorrow, so I stayed home.
If you say so, man,
he retorts like he doesn't believe I don't care.
But your son may not like what I'm seeing right now, what everyone is getting to see right now.
What are you talking about? I challenge.
You're going to have to come to find out. I just hope you don't get here too late.
There's a click, and I think he hung up. Dutch, I bark into the phone. Dutch! I expel a sigh and pull the phone away from my ear, slamming the trash can lid closed. But I stop, doing a double take at something laying on top. Lifting the lid again, I pull out a pink half sheet, the pinup girl on the flyer catching my attention. Studying it, I let the lid fall closed and read it. Amateur night. Get wet. Your t-shirt anyway. May 27th at 9 p.m. The Hook on Jameson Lane. Grand prize, $300. I straighten my spine, taking note of the date, and then relax a little. It's still a couple weeks away, so Dutch wouldn't mean this. It's not happening tonight, and it's not at Grounders. It's probably Cole's flyer anyway. But on reflex, I flip it over and see handwriting on the back. Make that dollar sign, girl. I quirk an eyebrow. Is this Jordan's? It's from The Hook. Did her sister give this to her? Jesus, what is wrong with that girl? Who would encourage their little sister to enter a wet t-shirt contest for Christ's sake? Again, though, it's not tonight, and she threw it away, so that's a good thing. But now I'm anxious. I like the kid. I don't want her to feel like she needs to do shit like this to make money. I'm not rushing either of them out of my house, am I? I toss the paper and rub my scalp, exasperated. Dutch likes to mess with people, especially me, but she did sleep on a pool table because she was too proud to ask for help. She doesn't make the best choices. I groan, knowing I'm not going to relax now. Sliding my phone into my pocket, I grab my keys and shut off the lights before leaving the house. Climbing into my truck, I start the engine and blast the radio as high as I can stand to distract from the worry pooling in my gut. He just has to go and start shit, doesn't he? He did seem more amused than distressed, though, so he's probably fucking with me. He just wants me to get out of the house. It takes less than 10 minutes to get to Grounders, and I find a parking space around the corner not too far. I can hear the music from out here, and I wonder if the local leagues had some baseball games tonight and everyone is still celebrating. Misbehaving. I shake my head, pulling open the door. The girl doesn't know the meaning of the word. She's as good as gold. Taking a deep breath, I pull open the door and nearly wince at the noise. Hard to believe this was exactly my scene once. Addicted to Love screeches through lousy speakers, and round, high-top tables are packed with customers. The bar is filled, not a single stool vacant, and I look around, seeing that the booths are all filled as well. A few women stand in line for the bathroom, the pool table is surrounded by bystanders, and the air is smoky and charged. I can already feel eyes on me. I nod at Callista Mankin as her eyes light up and she waves, and I spot James Lowry out of the corner of my eyes, both people I've probably seen only 5 times since high school, and I already feel uncomfortable. My gaze finally falls on Jordan as she stands at the jukebox, the pages flipping over in front of her as she scans the playlist through the glass. The crowd is thick, but I see the back of her head. I'd recognize her hair anywhere. My shoulders relax a little. I knew it was just some asinine plot to get me here. She's fine. I move through the people, trying to find Dutch and the guys, but then I see Jordan leave the music machine and make her way back to the bar, and that's when I catch glimpses of her through the throngs of people and see what she's wearing. My eyes flare. Jordan. Jesus. Her jeans fit her as snugly as always, the curves of her heart-shaped ass perfect, but her damn tits are threatening to pop out of her corset. Why the hell is she wearing lingerie? It's a white top, shimmering and laced up the front into a heart-shaped bodice with demure-looking little ruffles along the borders. My eyes fall down her cleavage, my head spinning with images of what'll spill out when she unlaces that top tonight. The corset doesn't even reach the tops of her jeans, but instead stops just above her hips, her trim waist and tummy drawing attention from every man she passes. The laces look tight, giving her an hourglass look that's just begging for a man's hands. I fist mine. The skin of her bare shoulders, her hair falling down her back, the sway of her hips as she walks. I tear my eyes away before I'm caught. She makes her way behind the bar again, and I ignore some of the self-satisfied smiles from men in the room as they follow her with their eyes, and try not to wonder what their hushed whispers are telling each other. A hand waves in the corner of my vision, and I shoot my glare up at Dutch, sitting with the guys in a booth. I walk over. "What the hell is she wearing?" I grumble, sliding into the booth. Dutch turns his head toward me, his drink inches from his lips. "It's the lingerie show," he tells me. "They have it every Thursday night. The bartenders and servers don nighties or corsets and serve drinks and food. It's fun." No, not really. But I look around and see a few other ladies carrying out appetizers and bringing drinks, some of them in very thin attire. At least Jordan's corset looks as thin as armor. "But Jordan's never done it before," he goes on. "That's what shocked me. Thought you should know." "Why the fuck would I want to know?" I pull a beer out of the ice bucket on the table. "Yeah, sorry," he turns away, mumbling into his glass. "You seem like you couldn't care less." I shoot him a sideways look, hearing the laughter in his words. Sticking the beer back in the bucket, untouched, I rise and head to the bar. I hear a snort behind me, but I don't care. She's kind of my responsibility, and I don't want her doing things like this because she thinks she needs money. There's only one bartender besides Jordan, the owner, Shell. I'm sure she hasn't forgotten me, so I veer to the opposite end and catch Jordan's attention as she pops the tops from a line of six bottles of beer. "What the hell are you wearing?" I lean in, speaking as quietly as I can. She jerks her head toward me, meets my eyes, and quickly turns away again like I'm the last person she wants to deal with right now. She hands over the beers, collects the cash, and spins around, punching the screen in front of her. "It's fine," she assures me. "It's just a corset, Pike." "They are all looking at you." She nods, smiling sarcastically. "That's the point." "Jordan," I sigh, trying to whisper as I squeeze around some old dude at the bar. "This is a small town. What if your father were to walk in?"
"He doesn't come in here,"
she says, closing the register drawer and finally looking at me.
"And neither do you, normally."
A blush crosses her cheeks.
"Besides, I'm not stupid. I wouldn't take part in something I thought would humiliate me."
She turns and hands the change back to the customer, but he waves her off, letting her keep it. She smiles and turns back around, dropping the bills into an already overflowing canister.
"What are you even doing here?"
she says, starting to mix another drink.
"I thought you were sitting the bachelor party out because..."
She sets the bottle down and does air quotes as she imitates my growling voice. "There needed to be at least one sober person at work tomorrow." I arch a brow at her. "I don't sound like that." Reaching into my pocket, I pull out the flyer and push it over the bar at her. She stills, and her face goes ashen.
"Where did you find that?"
She grabs it and dumps it somewhere under her, to a trash can, probably. Taking a napkin, she sets it in front of a customer and gives him the fresh drink she just made. "If you need money," I tell her as she turns around to mark a piece of paper, "I'll lend you whatever you need, okay?" And she stops, slowly turning her eyes on me. Her gaze sharpens, angry, and she looks like she wants to yell at me, but she doesn't. Instead, she whips around and barrels down the bar and through the partition, turning only quickly enough to crook a finger at me before she twirls back around and heads down the hallway.